We're talking about being Spirit-filled people. Amen?
Amen.
So, Spirit-filled is not the image of empty people looking to go and continually to be refilled and refreshed. Amen? We can be refreshed by the presence of God, but you can't be more filled with the presence of God. Okay, you have it. When you got born again, God gave you His Spirit. It's not a less than spirit. So, Spirit-filled means to be Spirit-dominated. Spirit-dominated. That means the Holy Spirit gets His way more than I get my way. In other words, my outer man, my thinking, my emotions, my will, they want to do their own thing. And we're going to get into it a little bit this morning about how the devil, the tempter, will come. We talked about it last week. The serpent, his nature, he's a tempter, he's a deceiver, he's a destroyer. Amen? And he attempts to. How many believe that your inner person is not vulnerable to the temptation of the tempter? The Spirit in you is longing for heaven. The Spirit in you is longing to be with the Father.
Amen.
The Spirit in you is longing for oneness with the Creator. But our outer man is made of the dust. And the dust has been going astray, being tempted by the tempter, and going astray. So, to be Spirit-dominated is when we invite the Holy Spirit to come live in us. And how many know that the only way the Holy Spirit can come live in us is if we've been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb that we sang to all morning?
Yes, Lord.
The blood of the Lamb, and I'm going to talk more about that this morning. He painted the doorpost of my heart, and that He sanctified me. He purified me so that I could become a holy habitation for the presence of God.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
so it's not I need more of God to be filled with the Spirit. I have God. It's about making the Spirit, giving the Spirit the chance to live through me and making my outer man subject. And I have to confess to you that last Sunday morning, I didn't succeed at that. I felt the outer person. I felt the frogs. We talked about the frogs in Bible study that jump on your back and make you feel yucky. I got a frog on my back last Sunday morning. And so public sin requires public confession. I blew it last Sunday morning. I got soul dominated. And did you hear me pray? I said, Father, I don't want to do this.
Yes.
I don't want to do this. I feel under the weight and the heaviness of this oppression. I don't even want to preach. I said, who wants to preach? I don't even want to preach. But I'm going to share a strategy with you that I found to be successful Sunday morning. I didn't walk out. I said, Father, I need your help. I need your anointing. And I know you guys started to pray for me. And as I began to just be faithful, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what your brain is telling you. It doesn't matter what your eyes are seeing. Be faithful to the truth. Know the truth and be faithful to the truth. And did you hear me say, as I just started to be faithful, I started to preach, I said, I feel the anointing coming on. The anointing is the Holy Spirit coming along my side, enabling what I couldn't do by myself. I need the Holy Spirit. I'm not perfect. I need it. In my weakness, God's Spirit was perfected last Sunday morning. And I believe the truth was proclaimed in spite of my outer person and all the frogs. I'm not a frog hater, for those who are listening on the tape. We talked about frogs being like demons, jumping around on people's backs, trying to make them feel yucky. I want you to know I've been delivered of my frog. Hallelujah. I found the secret place of the Most High where no frogs are welcome. I'm ready to get one of them t-shirts that has a no frog zone. Amen? No frogs are allowed in the secret place.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. They can't get there. They might try to leap on, but I got a force field bubble of the Holy Ghost and the power of God around me that they're just bouncing off of me now. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, I want to talk to you about the blood this morning. Can you tell I'm free?
Yes.
Public confession does the soul good. So I apologize to you all. I'm sorry if I offended anybody last Sunday morning, but I pray that you would forgive me. Okay. Judy specifically. I kind of jumped on Judy when she started to talk, and I couldn't hear her. And I'm just like, can't hear you! And I prayed about that. You know what? I prayed about that because just because you say something that doesn't sound like the Christian thing to say doesn't mean it wasn't the Holy Spirit. How many believe that Jesus can be mad sometimes? Just ask him. But I prayed about it and I walked around Monday morning. I'm walking and I felt the Holy Ghost. That was the soul. That was not my spirit. You know what I had to do? I had to go to Judy's house. Would you let me in? And you know how gracious Judy is? Welcome, Pastor, come into my home. And I had to apologize to her. And you know what she did? She just wrapped me in love. She forgave me. She understood. Sometimes, you know what? It's helpful to know that sometimes that people get a frog on their back. It's not them.
Right.
It's not even them. They feel yucky because there's a frog on their back. And we get all mad at them, right? But Judy was able to see past that. She said, hallelujah, it's forgeven. Let's move on. Let's move on in the love relationship. Because what on earth is God doing right now? It's so important to know what on earth God is doing. It's not always tunnel vision. We focus a lot, right? But what's the big picture? God is building a church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And it's made of many members. Many members who sometimes get frogs on their back. Many members who sometimes are not perfect. But God is still calling us to be joined together. And you know what the answer is? Two things. The answer is love. It's one thing. The answer is love. And love will enable you to take up your cross.
Amen.
Your cross is not easily offended. You might be easily offended, but I take up my cross. And I say, nevertheless, I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to love my brother and my sister.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. And it's all because of the blood. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. My heart was pounding before I had to confess to you. Do you know that? It's like, I don't want to do that. It's embarrassing, Lord. Isaiah 1, 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And I got to keep on preaching this. When you sin, it feels yucky, doesn't it? We'll get to that. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isn't that a good promise from our God, our faithful God? You can have sin. How many in here have blown it like I just confessed to you? Have you ever blown it in your life?
Oh,
you ever missed the mark? You ever feel? Okay, let's carry on. All right, I just want to make sure I had the right message here. Sin, in the dictionary, is an immoral act. An immoral act, in the dictionary. Considered to be a transgression against divine law. Once when asked, Billy Graham, what is the definition of sin? He gave the following answer. A sin is any thought or action that falls short of God's will. God is perfect, and anything we do that falls short of His perfection is sin. The Bible actually uses a number of examples or word pictures to illustrate what this means. For example, it tells us that sin is like an archer who misses the target. You know an archer, he shoots a bow and arrow. He draws back his bow and sends the arrow on its way. But instead of hitting the bullseye or the center in the target, it veers off course and misses the mark. The arrow may only miss it a little bit or miss it a great deal, but the result is the same. The arrow does not land where it is supposed to land. That is the definition of sin, missing the mark. Okay? Sometimes we have it in our minds, sin is this terrible That these people who kill one another, these people who lie and steal and cheat, those are the sinners. But I was born into a good family, go to church. We have this understanding of what sin is, right? And we tend to separate it. We don't like sin. We don't want to have anything to do with it. We've talked about sin of commission. Commit. I commit a wrong action. I commit something that transgresses a law. Or the one that we don't really like is the sin of omission. I didn't do the right thing. God told me to do the right thing, and I didn't do it. The Bible clearly says if you know to do good and do not do it, it becomes sin to you. So it's not that we're going around hurting people and stepping on toes and stealing and cheating and lying. It could be that God says, see that guy who doesn't have any food? I want you to go home and I want you to make him a pot roast dinner. And I want you to bring it to him. And your brain says, you know what? I'm real busy. I got to work. And he's homeless. He can find stuff or other people will do it. And you might even give him a $20 bill. But it's not what God said to do. If you know to do it because you've heard from the Holy Spirit and you don't do it, that's falling short. That's missing the mark. But guess what? I'm not going to dwell on sin this whole message. Are you glad?
Yes.
Amen. What you focus on is magnified. All right. One symptom of sin, this is super important. We see it in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, were tempted by the tempter. Remember, he said, hey, look at this. And they came into agreement with that, and they received it. They sinned. They missed the mark because God said, thou shalt not, and they did it anyway. Sin is a separator. I look at it in my own life. I did not want to go to Judy's house. I don't want to go near God right now because I know I'm wrong. I did something. I blew it. Look at Adam and Eve. They hid themselves because they were ashamed. You don't want to go into God's presence when you're ashamed. You hide yourself. I didn't want to go to Judy because I was ashamed. It causes separation. And the outer man comes into agreement with that desire. You have a fear. You have a shame that's in your outer person. It's not in your spirit. It's in your outer person. It's causing you to be ashamed. And if you come into agreement with that, you will keep yourself. You will hide yourself from God. You'll keep yourself from fellowship. Amen? Sin, there's a symptom of sin. And I'm not saying every time that you're apart from fellowship that it's sin. Be cautious of that. If you see somebody who's out of fellowship, don't start judging them. Oh, they must be in sin. There are times, you look at the scriptures, Paul was called aside. And he was apart from fellowship of the other apostles for a long time. Amen? So don't judge people who are, they might be called by the Holy Ghost. So what would you do if somebody separated themselves? How about pray for them? Maybe the Holy Spirit would say, have I done anything? If you have had, because the Bible says, go to that one if there's an issue. Amen? Because we're talking about sin. We're talking about God joining everything together. Go to that one. Are we okay? And their proper response would be, actually, you kind of blew it there. Or the Holy Spirit just called me aside for a season. Amen? Pray, and let's flow together. Let's operate together as the Holy Spirit leads. Amen? As a body. Okay, moving right along. How do we fall into sin? Temptation. We know the tempter comes to tempt in Matthew 4:3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, then command these stones to be made bread. Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever been so hungry? Jesus was fasting here for 40 days. 40 days. What's the longest that you've ever fasted?
21 days.
Have you noticed that there's times when God's grace is just carrying you and you don't even feel hungry, and then there's other times you're just like, give me a piece of bread! I need bread! Or whatever it is. Have you ever been so hungry? Well, Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. And I want you to know that Jesus was a real man. He wasn't a ghost. He was susceptible to hunger. His belly growled when he was hungry. and the devil came to him at a weak point. The tempter will come to you when you and I are most hungry. And he'll offer you something else. Amen? He's a tempter. But did it say that the tempter came to, if the devil was different, like he would say, and the bully came to him in the wilderness and forced him on the ground and opened up his mouth and started putting bread. The devil's not like that. He's not like causing you, he's not twisting your arm behind your back to make you sin. He's not twisting your arm behind your back to get you off track. He's offering you other options and he's selling them. This option is really cool. We heard Dion's testimony about fasting. She knew the Holy Spirit called her to fast, and right away someone came to her and offered her a way that she could do something other than that and have it still look good. Genesis 3:1, we know the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made, and he said, has God indeed said that you can't eat of every tree? So the devil's there selling it. He's a tempter. But the important thing is that you and I need to know that you know that you know that you know for the rest of your Christian experience that you will not be made to sin. You have one of the most powerful tools in your toolbox is this little thing called agreement. You have the choice as a human being to agree. You can choose to agree with one thing or another. Nobody can force you to do anything. Somebody can hold up a gun to your head, a knife to cut your head off, and you don't have to agree. You can be afraid of death and choose to come into agreement with something other than that. Or you can be offered all kinds of silver, all kinds of gold, all kinds of fame, all kinds of fortune. You can be tempted, but nobody can force you to do anything because you have a God-given gift called agreement. The power to agree. But the devil gets us so busy and the world is shaping us into its mold. You got to have an education. You got to go. You got to get a career. You got to do this. You got to just fall into and you're boogieing right along and you're agreeing with this and you're agreeing with that. You're agreeing with your parents. You're agreeing with the government. You're agreeing with everybody. But I preached on this a while ago, the word called Selah. Selah in the Bible is pause. Somebody says, hey, we got to go do this. Don't just agree with it. Pause. Like I paused before I went and talked to Judy. I paused before I jump on board and answer questions and say yes, and I'm going to do this. Pause. Because now I'm not being tricked into agreeing with something that I don't want to be in agreement with. Slow down. Nothing's going to happen that's going to be catastrophic if you can't answer in a second. You know what I mean? Just relax. Listen to the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit saying? And once you get a hold of what the Holy Spirit's saying, you hold on to that. You come into agreement with it. You engage full power with it. Amen? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except one that's common to man. Everybody's being tempted here. It's not just me. Have you ever been there? Oh, it's just me. I'm the only one who has this. I'm the only one who has this problem. No, everybody's going through it, people. I'm getting tempted. I blew it right in front of you all. It's happening to all of us. Amen. The devil's after us all. It's common to man, but God is faithful. Don't you love that but? We're all being tempted, but God is faithful. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but within every temptation, there's a way of escape. Did you know that? Did you know that it's been my experience that when I'm being tempted, that I feel boxed in. I feel like I have no choice. There's only one way here. I got to go with it. You look for the secret door because God promised there will always be a secret hatch. Yes. You don't have to sin. The devil's trying to convince you there's only one way, but you got to look around. You got to say, God, you promised me in your word, there's a way of escape here. I don't have to sin. Don't listen to the thing that boxes you in and says, you're only human. Nobody's perfect. Choose the right thing. Come into agreement with it. Get to know the truth and agree with the truth. Don't listen to the lies. Don't come into agreement with the lies. There always will be a way of escape. You don't have to sin. I used to agree with it. I used to say, oh, well, you're only human. But praise God for this precious gift in John 16:8. And when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. How many of you believe that I love conviction? I love it when I feel bad about doing wrong. I don't like to do wrong just to feel that, but I'm so glad that God makes me feel ugly and yucky when I do the wrong thing.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because I can't stand it. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get rid of this feeling. I will. It took a lot of courage to go to that house and knock on the door. But I was willing to do it because I hated that yucky feeling. I hated the frog on my back, right? I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And I thank God for that. And the second part of conviction, 2 Timothy 2:25 says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they will know the truth. Did you know repentance means to turn around 180 degrees and go the other way? To be sorry and turn around? That is a gift. Have you ever thought of that? Maybe God would grant them repentance. It's a gift. Look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh was moving in one direction and God was able to soften his heart and he turned around and went the other direction. Of course, then he hardened it again and went back the other way, but God is able, that God can grant. How many know someone who's heading in the wrong direction? Number one, start with yourself. Have you ever been heading in the wrong direction? Yes. Aren't you glad that you can feel bad about it and that God can give you the gift of the power to turn around and go the other way? That's a wonderful blessing. Thank you. You know what I mean? I'm not stuck just because I chose the wrong thing. It doesn't mean that's my destiny.
Amen.
God gives you a gift to be able to turn around.
Yes. Hallelujah.
How do you do that? John, the first letter of John, 1 John 1:9. If we confess, if we agree with God, you're wrong, I'm wrong. Confess, agree with God that you blew it, you're off track. Then he is faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the point of the message that I believe God really wanted communicated today. The gift of forgiveness. I hate feeling yucky. I hate feeling, and I want you to know the whole beginning of my life, the first 25 years of my life, was an accumulation of doing the wrong thing and trying to figure out how to not feel yucky about it. You blow it, so what do? Apart from Jesus, what do? Sometimes you try to do good. I did it, I blew it last night, so now I'm going to do the dishes, Mom. You try to make up for the wrongdoing by doing good. And I want you to know, throughout the whole earth, you can't find one person who said that worked. You can't find one person who said, I did the wrong thing, but I gave so much money to the poor that I feel better about myself now. You might for an instant, but it will come back on you. It does not go away. The accumulation of sin and heaviness and guilt and shame on your back you carry for your life. It just keeps on building up and building up. Some people run from it. That's where addiction comes. I can't stand the way I feel, so I'm going to drink. You forget about it. You try to forget. Or you go into work. You become a career person, and you're a workaholic, and you just work, so that all you think on, you're focused on anything but how yucky you feel for all the wrong stuff you do. How many times you try to do the right thing? You're shooting, but you miss the mark. I told you even a good thing can be missing the mark. A friend of mine loves lobster, and so I had a lobster, and I go, I'm going to bless my brother with a lobster. So I walked up his stairs, I knocked on, nobody answered, I opened up, it was a bachelor pad, bunch of guys there. I go, hey, you know where this guy is? And they go, oh, he's in the shower. I go, oh, I got him a lobster. And the guy goes, I think he's fasting. A good thing, missing the mark. I wasn't listening to the Holy Ghost, it was just a good idea. The Holy Spirit wouldn't tempt my brother with a lobster when he's initiated, he's inspired my brother to fast. And the same Spirit would not inspire my brother to fast and me to tempt him with a lobster. Who's the tempter? I was listening to the wrong thing. I was listening to my mind or to a frog. Sorry, frogs. You're really getting a bad rap today. All right, so he's able to forgive and cleanse. Listen to what happens when you get God involved. This was my experience. Psalm 103, verse 12. Listen to what happens when you confess. Because I'm not sure we really get it when we confess. When we feel bad, I'm not sure it's really sinking in just what God is doing. Lord, I'm sorry. I blew it. I got off track. I missed the mark. As far as, Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Huh? You know what? I can recall my transgressions pretty quickly. And I can still feel ugly about it. I can still feel yucky about my blowing it. Where is my blowing it with God? Where is it? Where in that scripture, tell me where, but God remembers when you blew it Saturday. When you agree with him, you blew it, he said that he removes my transgressions as far as the east from the west. Give me a measurement on that. Tell me how far apart that is. You give me, like, how many miles is the east from the west? Have you ever heard of a string, and you take a string and point it out that way and have it keep on going, and you have the other end keep on going the other way, put a little red dot on it there? How long is that string? It just goes and goes. There's no measurement for it. That's how far away your transgression is from you.
Hallelujah.
In God's eyes. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. What is God's nature? What is God's character? He will be merciful. The devil is a guy of condemnation. He wants to make you feel yucky. He wants to make you feel ashamed. And God is saying, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember at the end of time, when it comes time. Will I remember the next time they blow it? Is that what the scripture says? God is not holding a chalkboard and going, oh, there's another one, oh, there's another one, oh, there's another one. And so the next time you blow it, he's looking at this accumulation of everything that you did wrong, whether you can go to heaven or hell. He says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and I will remember it no more. I'm not going to recall it. I'm not going to keep bringing it up. Who's bringing it up all the time?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Micah 7:18 and 19. Who is like a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Do you see God like that? Do you see God like a God who delights to show mercy? Sometimes we look at God and we think he's up there on his throne and he's ready to throw a lightning bolt down on us every time we blow it. You will again have compassion on us, and you will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Do you have anything precious to you? If you went out into the boat, like say this ring, is precious to me, right? And what if I went out into the ocean and a fish was there, I'm trying to catch a fish, and I reached down to catch the fish and the ring fell off my finger and went into the ocean? You think I could find that ring? How far is your sin from you? It's in the depth of the ocean. It's as far as the east is from the west. If somebody was telling you that when you feel yucky because you knew you blew it, and somebody was telling you you could get rid of that, would that be good news to them? I want you to know it was good news to me. Like I said, I had the first 25 years of my life was just an accumulation of doing the wrong thing. I got into drugs and alcohol at an early age, and I want you to know that just getting into drugs and alcohol is not the yuckiest of yucky. I want you to know that it's what you do when you're on drugs and alcohol that is the yuckiest of yucky. It hurts people. People who love you.
Yes.
You hurt relationships.
Yes.
You crush, you break their heart. You do bad stuff. And that builds up and builds up. And I saw a friend of mine get invited to a church. And when he came out of that church, he came back a changed person.
Hallelujah.
And in my heart, I was like, oh, maybe that's the answer. I hope I get invited. I hope I get invited. And within a matter of weeks, I got invited to the same church. And I was sitting there in the service and just watching a movie of all my yucky stuff. And I'm hoping in my heart that God would still want me, hoping that out of all the yuckiness, as filthy as I was, that he would still want me. And somebody came up and said, tonight's the night. And I went forward. They explained to me that Jesus took my punishment. I knew I deserved punishment. He took my punishment. And they prayed for me. And I was feeling wobbly. I was feeling like I was going to fall over. And I was just saying, hold on, Carl, just hold on, it's almost over. And I heard a voice say, let go, Carl, just let go.
Hallelujah.
And I breathed a deep breath and I fell over on my back. And I felt the power of a stampede of elephants just rushing through my body. And when I got up off the floor, I was a changed man. God gave me a new heart. He gave me a new heart. And all of that accumulation of sin that I've been carrying around and running from. Do you know that an accumulation of sin on your back determines the course? It can manipulate you like a puppet. It can make you do what you don't want to do. But I was set free. I was no longer under the oppression and no longer under the manipulation of that shame anymore. I was free. I could stand before God free, and I could stand before all humanity free. I was free of the guilt and the shame.
That's the God we serve. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
It's all because of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 10. Sorry for the fine print.
Oh my
God. It's Hebrews 10. 10, starting in verse 1. And we'll go up to verse 23. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifice which they offered year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. Old covenant into a new covenant. Old covenant sacrificing animals year after year, which only covered up sins. But there was still a consciousness. Did you hear that? Because if the sacrifice of a bull or a goat took away your sin, there would be no consciousness of your sin, and you would therefore not keep on offering sacrifices. But it didn't work. So Jesus said, I have come to do your will. He removed the law of the first law, the first covenant, to establish the second covenant or the new covenant, which we're going to eat and drink together in reminder of this new covenant. But that will, in verse 10, but that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He has done it. When he was hanging on the cross and he said, it is finished, it wasn't for that day. It wasn't just for the sins of that generation. Jesus hung on the cross and shed his pure blood for all sin. From every sin from Adam till the end, all sin has been dealt with Jesus' perfect sacrifice.
Yes.
You cannot find this anywhere else on the planet. I don't care what religion you go to or what philosophy you go to. I don't care what you try to do. There's nowhere else on the planet that is offered to you to be free from the shame and the guilt and the yuckiness of sin. Nobody else can take it away. They can cover it up, they can divert your attention, but they cannot take it away from you. You will ultimately come back to an awareness that you have missed it. Unless you come to Jesus and you say, you did it for me, I believe by faith, you took my punishment, Lord. And that takes it away, once for all. And that's the good news that you and I have to share. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. That should make you jump and shout.
Yes.
For that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified.
Hallelujah.
But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the commandment that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write on them. Then adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is a remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. Hold fast your confession, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holies, by the blood of Jesus. Did you know that there's nothing now that can prevent you from standing in the very presence of God? There's no sin on you. There's no frogs on you. You can go before your God boldly. Because Jesus has washed us in his blood. He's made us white as snow and as wool. We're pure. We're beautiful in his sight. We can just go into our Father's presence. He takes the yuckiness away.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holies of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having your hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God wasn't satisfied with just covering up our sins. He wanted our sins to be gone. He wanted all sin to be gone. Don't let any devil try to talk you into agreement with condemnation. Jesus paid for our punishment. He took care of the bill. Come into agreement with the truth. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If you ever feel yucky, you need to have that scripture wrapped, folded up. When I first became a Christian, I didn't have my own Bible. So I didn't have a small Bible that I could carry with me yet. I had a big one that God gave to me. I shared the testimony. But so I took the big Bible, and whenever I was tempted through the day, I didn't know what to do. So I looked. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? He said, "For it is written." So I wrote on a paper because I didn't trust my mind. I always thought the devil was mixing up my words so that I would quote the scripture. It'd be twisted, and I didn't want that. So I wrote the scripture down word for word. And when I got tempted, I said, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceed forth out of the mouth of God."
Yes, Lord.
Do that for yourself. Write this down. When you're feeling yucky, write this down. "For he," God, "made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." You need to be able to tell the devil that. You need to be able to tell your brain that when you start to come into agreement with these other things that are trying to talk you out of God's presence and out of fellowship. We are righteous. Not by our behavior, but by his pure blood. By his blemish-free blood. That's the significance. His blood is the answer. No other blood. How many of you know that millions of Christians, millions of people have been crucified? Did you know that? It wasn't just one person crucified. Millions of people, and they're still being crucified today. But there was one thing that separated all the people who have been crucified that made one person able to be the Savior. And that was his blood. There's only one numbered out of all those people who have been crucified whose blood was pure.
Hallelujah.
The blemish-free lamb, the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. God would provide for himself a lamb. And Jesus had the nature of his Father flowing in his blood. Amen. He was born of a virgin, so that he could have his Father's nature. Do you know his Father's nature is sinless?
Amen.
Do you know if Mary and Joseph came together, Jesus would have Joseph's nature? And every man since Adam has a sin nature, and it goes down by the bloodline. So Jesus needed to be begotten by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Lord, hallelujah. How many are thankful for the blood?
Oh, yes, Lord.
So we have a song right here. It's an old, old chorus. And how would you like to sing that chorus? Would you like to hold on to your fruit of the vine?
Yes.
Hold on to it. Go right up there and take a symbol. Break off a piece of that cracker, recognizing it's your hand and your sin that put Jesus on the cross. It's the reason. Your sin is the reason his body was broken. Don't let somebody else break the cracker for you. That's like, hey, it's everybody else. No, it's my hand that caused his body to be broken. My sin. And hold on to it. You can stand up. We can gather together. You want to gather together? But you probably want to see the words. And then the fruit of the vine, the symbol of his blood. Amen. Poured out that blemish-free, perfect blood. for Sunday morning?
No.
How long does it take to be white as snow? Bible says in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye is faster than a second.
Wow.
In an instant, you can be white as snow.
Hallelujah.
All your sins forgiven.
Hallelujah.
We can walk in continual cleanliness. Amen? So don't let it accumulate. As soon as you blow it, say sorry to God.
Yes, ma'am.
He'll give you the gift of repentance. He wants us to stay on track.
Amen.
Because of his broken body, that's why we're able to be forgiven.
Yes,
Lord.
Thank you.
He took our punishment. So let's eat together believing that his nature was being broken down and becoming part of us.
Yes, Lord.
Your nature in me, Lord. I want your nature in me.
Yes, Lord. I thank you, my Lord.
I want your nature in me.
Oh, you are my great God, Jesus.
Your nature. Your character.
Thank you, Lord.
The fruit of the vine, a symbol of the blood of Jesus, his life. Not only does his blood cleanse us, but it also is a symbol of the new covenant. It's a new thing. We have his law in our heart. His spirit can live in us. And also as I drink, I'm reminded of his life. I want his life in me. I want his nature, and I want his life. Your nature and your life in me.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I pray that you give us a sensitivity, Lord God, to your spirit as we go from this place, Lord, into our week. Father, that we would be sensitive to your presence, Lord God, and aware of how you're leading us. Give us the courage to hit the steps that are laid out before us. And give us, Father, conviction when we're off track. And give us the gift of repentance, Lord God, that we're quick to get back on track. That we can walk in forgiveness and that we can walk in purity, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. That your spirit would be filling us and leading us, and that others would see that we are free and that they would want what we have. They would see your peace on our face. They would see your joy on our face.
Amen.
Father, release my wife to go home in Jesus' name. Bless her. Be careful, Lord. Protect us all from the schemes of the adversary. Stir up the gift of discerning of spirits this week.
Yes,
ma'am. So we all are able to see frogs.
Yes.
Keep the frogs off of us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Keep us in the secret place and help us to abide.
You work for the cattle?
Yes.
You work for little boys?